Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Why, thank you, Dave. And it's just so cool to be here today. Oh my gosh. Today would have been my mom's 101st birthday. She passed away in 2009. She was 98 at the time. It's just hard to believe, looking back after all those years with her, that she is not here physically, but she is in spirit. You're going to find out how much today, because this is her tribute show on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Some really great tunes. Matter of fact, there is two Tonys, a daughter of one, another one coming, a Prince who has a clue, an Adams, an Almond, a Blossom Deary, and a celebration recognizing how much of a small world this really is. Yeah, that was thought up in less than 5 minutes, can you tell? Coming up next hour, and not at 3 o'clock, but at 3:30, because he's teaching, is the amazing saxophonist, performer, composer, camp director, and legend, the one who learned from John Coltrane. Carl Grubbs will be with us at 3:30 today. Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy a little bit of a celebration, shall we? This is Eric Kloss, who you're about to hear, and a song called Celebration on Hybrid Jazz, Trish Hennessy. Joy.
Thank you.
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
As I approach the prime of my life, I find I have the time of my life. Learning to enjoy at my leisure all the simple pleasures and so I happily concede. This is all I ask. This is all I need. Just beautiful girls, walk a little slower when you walk by me. Lingering sunset. Everywhere, when you shoot at that man, shoot at me. Take me to that strange enchanted land. Grown-ups seldom understand. Wandering bit of color for my heart to hold. Stars in the sky make my wish come true before the night has flown. And let the music play. For my heart to own.
Stars in the sky make my wish come true before the night has flown. And let the music play as long as there's a song.
Take Me Away, Calgon. From duets to the amazing, the timeless, the iconic Tony Bennett with Josh Groban there. How about that? This is all I ask. Woo! I so appreciate Josh Groban's vocals on that because you know what? He could have shown off as some of the others tried to do on the CD, but he was right where he was supposed to be with Tony Bennett. And Josh knew to defer. If you're talking about Tony Bennett, you defer. You know what I'm saying? Holy cow. In his 80s and sounding so strong. Oh, just a pleasure to hear that song that's been around since time immemorial. My mom and I used to listen to the radio station. I'll give this station a plug, although it's not the same as it was. WIP in Philly. It used to be classified, I guess, as a middle-of-the-road station. And it would play everything from Tony Bennett, Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Ella Fitzgerald. It would play these amazing instrumentals, which you didn't necessarily perceive as jazz at that time, but they clearly were. People who were global, people who lived in the United States, just a real nice mix of songs. And, man, a couple of those songs on the Duets 2 CD take me right back to those times in Jenkintown, PA. Amazing. Tony Bennett, the other Tony, Small World, title track. Let me tell you something about Baltimore-based Tony Bunn, though he's chomping at the bit. He is in town at this point. This is going to be a Lifetime movie someday because, honest to gosh, Tony Bunn has studied a few different subjects in his lifetime. One of them was rocket science, and the other is clearly involved in music. He plays bass like nobody I know, and everybody knows that. Just a quirky, wonderful, kind spirit that is floating in this universe and finds himself in the situation that for the first time in his 54 years, he will be a dad any minute in Denmark. Don't ask. He's got his family in Denmark. He has to be here. He's going back in December. He is just literally hanging on by shards. Because he wants to be there, and this is the story that will be in the Lifetime movie someday. So really, keep Tony Bunn in your prayers just for his peace of mind, because that little girl, I believe it's going to be a little girl, is going to be here any second. We'll keep you posted about that. Eric Clough, Celebration from 1979. What a job he did on that. Yeah, saxophone. Amazing sax, blind from birth in the Pittsburgh area. That's where he was known. Born in 1949, 62, played with Pat Martino. He was a child prodigy. He performed with his mentor, Sonny Stitt, at the age of 12. 22 albums to his credit, toured the U.S. and Europe for 25 years. In the 1990s, he began teaching at Duquesne University and then became head of the jazz department at Carnegie Mellon. Hasn't done a lot recently, but my God, the body of work that he has had. Quite a respected fellow. Eric Kloss, K-L-O-S-S. Yeah. The music continues for my mom's little tribute show. Just real nice stuff. A vibe that was supposed to be felt this day on what would be her 101st birthday, October 25th, in case this is archived and you hear it. That's when it was done. And we're going to turn our attention to something new. You just heard something new, actually, from Tony Bennett and Josh Groban from Duets 2. And now this is another saxophonist. I just found out about Marcus Adams somewhat recently. And I fell in love with this track in particular from his CD called Suddenly. This is From the Heart on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Carl Grubbs, speaking of saxophone, will be with us at 3:30. Stay with us. I think you'll enjoy. Thank you. Yes, this is why we call it hybrid jazz, because you just never know what you're going to hear, okay? Oh, my goodness. Dwayne Allman, that's correct. Little Martha. Just one of my favorite songs from one of my all-time favorite performers, musicians, artists, however you want to slice him. And if you can just wrap your head around this, do so. On the 29th of October, it will have been 40 years since Dwayne was killed on that motorcycle back so many years ago. And I remember at times as if it was yesterday. I was a teenage girl who was caught up so much in Dwayne Allman, to the point where this little innocent girl who didn't look innocent would go to various places, including the Fillmore East and Atlantic City Steel Pier, with the beer chains around my neck and my little halter top and my long brown hair at that time. And I was not a groupie, but some folks did not know if I was or not, but I just worshipped the Allman Brothers, and especially Dwayne. And I was known as the little girl with the cigar because I was smoking cigars at the time. I'm telling you far too much, but it's about my mom today, and the reason why I play that song, she really enjoyed some of the music that her daughter was listening to, and she was such a comfort to me because, seriously, I locked myself in my house and would not go out for days after he was killed. So it just stood to reason that I would play that next to the Drummonds, When You Wish Upon a Star. Wasn't that cool? The Drummonds are Billy on drums, Billy Drummond, who is married to Renee Rosnes on piano, and Ray Bulldog Drummond, no relation, is on bass. That is so hot. All of them, first call New York musicians, and they got together back in the 80s. Renee was on Blue Note for a while. All of them terribly respected. That from circa 2000 or so. The Drummonds, Drummonds, When You Wish Upon a Star. Just real sweet, straight-ahead stuff. Just love it. Marcus Adams, I'm loving this man. I didn't know how cute he was. And that's just terrible to diminish the talent that he has. Marcus Adams, one of the new saxophonists on the contemporary jazz scene, also a pianist, a songwriter, vocalist, inspired greatly by David Sanborn, and raised in a heavily gospel-tinged home. Just real nice stuff. From the Heart is the track you heard from his CD, Suddenly. You can find Marcus, Marcus Adams, 7345.com. That's where you'll find him. Has played with Fred Hammond, Kirk Whalum, Wayman Tisdale, God rest his soul, Jeff Lorber. Very health-conscious hunk. Ladies, you're going to want to check that out, okay? Please go to that website. From Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So he's corn and beer fed. And that's all I'm going to say, because he's been living right. Woo-hoo! All righty now. Carl Grubbs is coming up at 3:30, and we're doing this especially for Carl because he is so busy. This man is a mentor and a teacher, and he is has been the band director. He does so much. His wife, Barbara, looks after his schedule because it's crazy. So he has a wealth of knowledge to share. We're going to try to do it in 30 minutes or so, and we're going to play something that is so wild because he learned initially saxophone from just observing John Coltrane, who was married to his cousin, Naima. That's all I'm going to say, so I'll let that settle in you. Now, I'm just going to tell you a little story. My mom, way before she was my mom, was a Philadelphia gal, and she was quite the sought-after gal. And she was going out with a rich boy, and the rich boy jilted her. And my mom was real unhappy because she thought they were going to get married. And my dad and my mom met, and my dad was engaged to somebody else. When he saw my mom, he said to his friend who worked at Philadelphia Electric with him, "That's the girl I'm going to marry." And the guy said, "Gene, you're engaged." He said, "Yeah, how about that?" So, needless to say, Gene Hennessy and Rose Hoffmeyer got together, and they got married, and they had five girls, and three of us are still around, knock on wood. And I thought of this song, because this is back in the day for you, and this is sort of the scenario of when my mom and dad got together. This is Blossom Dearie, "Someone to Watch Over Me" on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy.
There's a saying old says that love is blind. Still we're often told, "Seek and ye shall find." So I'm going to seek a certain lad I've had in mind. Looking everywhere, haven't found him yet. He's a big affair I cannot forget. Only man I ever think of with regret. I'd like to add his initial to my monogram. Tell me, where is the shepherd for this lost lamb? There's somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone. Thank you.
night we met, there was magic abroad in the air. There were angels dining at the Ritz,
and a
nightingale sang in bars.
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and that is one of the most talented men that I know. And the cool part is he has no idea how talented he is. That's the humility that he displays, a beautiful spirit, a gentle guy. He actually has on his website markprincemusic.com, soul, spirit, rhythm. There's a whole lot more than that going on. Had to play that song from a beautiful work, Fraction of Infinity. The song is called Gratitude for Ma. Oh, it just kills me. These tracks are so surreal almost, because you can just tell as Mark, the drummer, gets into the groove with these masterful players. There was love going on when these tunes were recorded. Oh, my gosh. The soul vocal, by the way, on these amazing tracks features Gino Young. If you're going to have one vocal on the CD, might as well be him. Woo, Lord, it's good stuff. On the CD, Michael Bowie on acoustic bass, David J. White, tenor sax, DeAndre Schaefer on trumpet, Alvin White on guitar, David Merlin Jones on soprano sax, Greg Boyer on trombone, Mark, of course, playing all drums, and Federico Gonzalez Pena on piano and keyboards. These local and regionally based artists are just incredible. If you want to get yourself a CD that will sink into you and you will not let it go, it's this one, Fraction of Infinity, Mark Prince. We heard, too, from the Manhattan Transfer, the song A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square, or Barclay, if you prefer. It's a 1939 song from Great Britain. It was about this exclusive section of London called Mayfair. The interesting thing is that my mom, whose little tribute show that we're doing right now, her birthday is today, my mom grew up in a section of Philly called Mayfair. So there's just these really wonderful ironies that just pass from one to another. Manhattan Transfer, named after a 1925 novel by John Dos Passos. And there was references to New York, and Manhattan Transfer seemed like a good idea to call the group. Now, they've gone through a few different incarnations, but the mainstay has been Tim Hauser. And if you want to check out some recent works, that particular song was from the Best of Manhattan Transfer. There's a few different compilations, so make sure you check it out. But in 2009, they released a Chick Corea songbook, which is very cool. We started off with Blossom Dearie, just to let you know, Blossom Dearie, from My Gentleman Friend. That was the Gershwin song, Someone to Watch Over Me. There's a lot I could tell you about this character. Little girl voice, jazz singer, pianist, very particular. If you didn't behave yourself at some of her soirees, she would tell you from the stage, be quiet or I won't continue, in that voice. She has been featured, that voice, in several films, supper clubs. She was in a group back in the day, the Blue Flames, the Blue Rays. She moved to Paris. She was in a group called the Blue Stars of Paris, which had a 1954 hit lullaby of Birdland, which was big there. And then the Blue Stars became the Swingle Singers. A lot you could say about Blossom Dearie. I'll just mention another thing. She was on Verve Records for quite a while. She was a favorite of Dave Garraway, who was on the Today Show way back in the 50s. And he would frequently have Blossom Dearie on the show with him. She is clearly labeled as a chanteuse. Just thought you would enjoy that so much. Don't forget now, Carl Grubbs is going to be with us in another 30 minutes or so after his class. So we're going to play some more music, and we're going to get a little deep here. Not two, but we're going to play some real meaningful songs. Earl Clue, we're going to do him. We have something from The Spice of Life, his most recent offering, apart from The Best of Earl Clue, which just came out a couple of months ago. This is called Sleepyhead, because my mom used to let me sleep however long I wanted to sleep. And the times that were most amazing were the times when you got to sleep in And then on holidays, you awakened to the smell of coffee and pies baking and turkey roasting in the oven. You could smell all of that. In our little house on Rhodes Avenue, which we don't have anymore, and I'm really sad about that because T and I spent a lot of time there. Thought you'd enjoy this. Everybody will. It's Earl Klugh. I mean, one of the champions of guitar, and this is why. Sleepyhead on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been.
Been hoping that you'd drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
they
ice.
Say there might be a flurry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
It's starting to snow more and more.
That fireplace roar.
So really I'd better scurry.
Darling, please don't hurry.
Or maybe just a little kiss more.
Put some music on while I pour.
The neighbors might think
you freeze to the bone out there.
Say what's in this drink.
It's up to your knees out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break this spell.
I'll take your hat.
I ought to say no, no, no.
Mind if I'm moving so
at least I'm gonna see that I tried.
What's the sense of hurt in my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Cause baby, it's cold outside.
Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
should I feel discouraged? Why do the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I and resting on his goodness, I lose all doubts and fears. I draw thee closer to me, from care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how about that? Oh, what great music we heard. That gentleman's name is Vic Frierson. That's from a CD that was released last year called Throwback, not Throwback. Thank you very much. It's Throwback, okay? And Vic is a very, very big man, tall, almost 7 feet. And that voice that you just heard on His Eye Is on the Sparrow came somewhere so deep I couldn't possibly describe it to you. Vic is a friend of mine and one of the possessors of a voice that is somewhere from another planet. He has a version of Get Here and Superwoman by Stevie Wonder together, those two songs together, like a 10-minute song on this CD that is just amazing, and a duet with Micah Chevalier, who you heard some days back on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Vic Frierson, Throwback, and yeah, usually considers himself to be an R&B singer. I think of him as a lot of jazz in there, and then when he dips back to his gospel roots, there is no one like him. So please feel free. I know most of the folks that are listening are on Facebook. You write to me if you want to get a hold of the CD, and I will set you up. We heard, too, from Chris Botti from his December CD. Ave Maria, one of my mom's favorite songs, and that's why I included it. Yeah, had to play those two songs back to back. We heard that song a lot growing up in our little Catholic household, and Chris Botti did too, because he's a good Italian boy. And that particular piece, of course, it was written by Franz Schubert, and the choir was conducted by John Lubbock, the Orchestra of St. John's, the London Session Orchestra, with Chris, of course, on trumpet. Just an exquisite CD. You cannot have Christmas unless you have that CD in your house. And if you really want to make it a fun Christmas, you have to have Slim Man's Christmas Eve, especially with that little version of Baby, It's Cold Outside, my mom's favorite time of year was Christmas. And she heard that song, that little take, with Slim Man being the person who was going, oh, I better go. Oh, no, baby, it's cold outside. My mom got a real big kick out of that. And the lady's voice that you heard was Tony Bennett's daughter, Antonia. Now, I told you that you're going to hear the daughter of somebody who was going to sing, so that was Antonia. And apparently, Slim and Antonia are good friends, and they get together when he goes to New York, which is pretty frequent. That was such a sweet version of that song, one of my favorites, and there are hundreds. Would you imagine? Yeah. We started off the set, by golly, with Earl Clue. And I wanted to tell you this before time got to be away from me, because I see now that we've got a few minutes and I want to play a Carl Grubb song for you before he comes to join me. Earl Clue, Sleepyhead is what you heard from Slice or Spice of Life, I should say. My words are running together. On November the 10th through the 12th, his Weekend of Jazz will be at Kiawa Island in South Carolina. Chaka Khan will be one of the illustrious guests, the big guest that weekend, and then he has his Weekend of Jazz in Colorado Springs in 2012 in April. So EarlClue.com has more information. It's always a treat to go to that website, always a treat to hear him, period. Let's give you another treat, shall we? From his CD Reflections, the man who is set to join us in mere moments, this is Carl Grubbs on saxophone and a Coltrane piece called Wise One on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
One of the coolest runs of a song I have ever heard. When I first heard this, I'd say now about 5 years ago, I just stopped in my tracks. First of all, the bass line killed me. And then I had known about this wonderful man with this amazing reputation in Philly, in Baltimore, where he's now based. And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do because already I'm shaking in my shoes. And then I met him, and I went, oh, I am not worthy. That's how I felt about Carl Grubbs. And I'm telling you, this has been a long time coming for Carl and I to be on the air together. Carl Grubbs, you legend, you. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Man, it's so good to have you here.
Well, look, it's exciting to be talking to you.
Well, and you know what, Carl, if you have something, if you could turn down the volume just a little bit because we're going to feed back off of each other and it's going to be a surreal moment. It's going to be like something from the 60s.
Okay. Is that better?
I think it's better, yes. Already it's better. This is okay. So wonderful to have you because, first of all, here you are taking out a chunk of time out of your day because you're a pretty busy guy. Your wife, Barbara, has to keep schedule that you have. Tell me what kind of a schedule that you have because you are so active teaching.
Yes, I teach at St. Paul, you know, like I have a pretty full schedule at St. Paul's, and I also teach at Randallstown High every other week. I teach the kids jazz band, so it's all about being able to know how to read music and also being able to improvise, because that's really what jazz is all about, is the improvisation and the creativity. I'm really beginning to pay attention to is, like, I'm writing some music for saxophone and strings, like, and this is the music that I've written since I've been in Baltimore.
Wow.
And I have some music that I called Inner Harbor Suite, but I think it has expanded since the last time that I really started to address that music, so it's going to be a little bit longer. But, it's something that I hear, not just the saxophone and piano, bass, and drums, but also the strings doing some things, too. So I'm trying to lock myself into doing that now.
Holy cow. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, do you think that all of the students that you have, do you think that they appreciate you the way that someone who has had your background should appreciate you? Do you have grateful kids, is what I'm asking you, Carl?
Yeah, because, one of the things I have fun with the kids. It's like today, like, we were playing When the Saints Go Marching In. So, like, they're like, that's it. Well, look, I want y'all to listen to how Louis Armstrong did it. You know, so they listen to Louis Armstrong. And then I said, well, look, listen to how the marching bands in New Orleans do it. So they listen to that. And, I said, well, look, that's not quite it. I said, when you play this music, you got to have fun. So I took my soprano out and I started playing, and having fun. And I think they got it, Kids are like a sponge. So, if they trust you, then they will go ahead and absorb what you're talking about. You just got to be honest with them.
That's for sure, because you know what? Kids can spot a phony a mile away, and if you're telling them, among other things, that they're supposed to have fun and you're not, that's not going to translate well, you know?
No.
Man.
No, that playing music is supposed to be fun. It's, it's a serious thing, but it's also a fun thing, too. Most people that wind up playing music for the rest of their lives. And it doesn't mean that you have to be a professional musician.
Right.
To keep on playing. But it's just something that music has that just draws you to it. So then what I try to do with the kids is give them those tools so when they leave me and they go someplace else, they will continue to play.
Carl, walk me through this journey that you've had, because, you certainly didn't start off to be an educator. You were full tilt boogie into playing, and you got inspired. And I have to ask you, it's no accident that I wanted you to be on this show, because this would have been my mom's 101st birthday.
Oh.
And she passed away just a couple of years ago at the age of 98. Born and raised in Philadelphia, and so were you. What part of the area?
Well, I was born in Germantown Hospital, but I grew up in North Philly.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
I know North Philly really well, because I went to Temple University for 4 years, and my dad was the district manager of Philadelphia Electric in North Philly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How wild.
Yeah.
And when did you leave Philly, and why did you leave Philly, and how was the musical journey sort of transponded, if that's a correct word, but how did it become multifunctional so that you remained a performer and a songwriter and then added on teacher?
Well, in Philly, me and my brother, we were working, and then we was able to record. But at some point, the gigs kind of dried up, and we wasn't traveling. And, the music disco came out on the scene, and like,
oh yeah,
it just kind of stopped gigs from happening, not just for jazz musicians, but for funk musicians, for rock musicians. You know, like, all, you know, like, musicians were suffering because as opposed to get hiring a band, they would hire somebody that would spin records. So, and what happened is also like, I wound up getting married again for the second time, and I was living in Philly, and my wife is living in Baltimore, so we figured that it'd be cheaper if we lived in one place. So I decided, well, I can work anywhere, so I decided like to go ahead and move to Baltimore, you know.
Yeah.
And,
oh yeah.
Like, and then from there, see, like, my wife is a teacher, and she would have people over. All of them would be teachers, and they'd be talking about their subjects. And I said, well, I have a subject just like that. I know about jazz, you know. So I said, well, that's our thing. I could do that, you know. I mean, I could teach people about the music, about the history of it, and teach them how to play it. So like, that's where that idea came from, just being around teachers, because teachers, when they, you know, when they get together, a lot of times they start talking about this subject and then the kids and that kind of thing. So it just started off like that.
So you got inspired because Barbara was into teaching, and Barbara is the kind of person, for sure, she could light you up about her subject of interest. That's for sure.
Yes.
She's really good that way. She is so on top of things. Barbara is a trip. I'm so glad that you have this amazing partnership. And then you got involved in teaching, and then you have this awesome camp during the summer. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, like, one of the things that, like, we would sit down, like, during the summer, you know, like, and say, well, man, you know, we wanted to do something. And so, like, we said, well, man, maybe what we should do is start a camp. Because you saw, like, when you look through the magazines, the jazz magazines, you see a lot of camps that people are having. But we said, like, we want to start a camp, an inner-city camp, for kids that may not be able to have the money to go to those camps that cost hundreds of dollars.
Absolutely.
You know? And also, like, I had some students that I was teaching, and so we organized them and asked them to, you know, like, try to put together the guidelines of how the camp should run and how much it should cost and that kind of thing. From the kids and the kids' parents, we got an idea of how to run the camp and get it started. So, and I think the first time we had maybe 50 kids, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, no, actually, no, less than maybe like 40 or something like that. And we had them all in one room.
But wow.
And the thing that typically, like, you know, like, I would say, I'm going to teach these kids about these scales and chords. So I would stand up on the board, and I'd be writing all these scales and chords out, and this is how this is made, and this is the half steps and whole steps. And the kids was looking at me like I was crazy. They go, oh, wait a minute, let me rethink this. You know, so as opposed to doing that, we put an instrument in their hands and said, okay, well, all right, in order to get this instrument to work, this is what you need to learn how to do. And this is what you need to learn about, and it was easier. But, you know, so it's about, like, interaction with the kids, give them something that they can touch and feel and work with, and they can then just go from there.
I completely agree. How long have you been doing this, Carl?
Oh, man, like, I think this is, this past year was like our 13th year. Something like
and
this, 12, 13 years, something like that, yeah.
There was a reason to ask you, because I would imagine that it's absolutely surreal for some of these kids that you first met when they were youngins coming up to you now and saying, Carl, you changed my life. How many times has that happened, do you think?
Well, you know, like, a lot of times, like, when I'm performing, like, some of the kids, like, well, that come up to me. Actually, some of the ones that was going to college, they come up to me. Mr. Gross, do you remember me? yes, I do.
do you really? Do you remember some of the kids? I mean, from facially, just looking at them?
Yeah. I just like it. Most of the time, I have them for at least 3 years.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, you know, I get a chance to, you know, like, and I'm not good with names, but I'm pretty good with faces. You know, so, like, and I find, like, when the kids go to college, they're also taking music, you know, and some of the kids have one kid, he went down to Nashville. I said, wow, you going down to Nashville? He went to school down in Nashville because he wanted to be around that musical scene. So, you know, I guess really one of the things that just implant kids, the whole idea that they can be creative, you know, I mean, just like I am, just like a lot of the other, you know, musicians, you know, you just gotta go after it. You know, if you had that taste for it, then, like, go ahead and nourish your taste.
and it's so wild to hear you because there is a smile in your voice when you're talking about all this. And the smile comes from a long time ago when a fire was lit in your belly for playing and for jazz. Do you remember when you first thought, oh, God, I don't want to do anything else but this? Do you remember?
Yeah. It was Easter 1958, you know, like when I heard John practicing, you know, and it sounded like to me like I thought he was reading music, so, because it sounds so fluid. So I said, man, John can really read music, you know. If I'm a dear musician, I have to read music like that. And so he must have practiced about an hour and a half before he came out of the bedroom. And then, you know, like he greeted everybody. I looked in the bedroom, I didn't see any music.
Really?
Any music. So I said, well, wait a minute, what's going on? You know, what was he doing? And I don't see any music. He must have put it away.
Whatever. Oh my gosh!
To find out like that he was improvising and he began to talk to us about scales and about chords, and these are the things that you need to learn in order to do that. Like, you know, then, I mean, really, I was hooked. You know, and I learned about the things that I needed to learn. Then, when I went home, I had to really seek them out. You know, so. But not only that, like one of the things, like I wish we still had this John. He had a tape. We recorded John practicing.
Oh wow!
You know, and I used to listen to that all the time. You know, and like in just how fluid his lines were and the sound that he had on the horn. So, and those kind of things helped. And actually seeing him do it, too, helped, too. You know, because like you know, any jazz musician is going to mimic the people that they like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and so like, you know, like I had a chance to actually see him do it and then listen to him do it and say, well, man, I might be able to do some of that, you know. The job was awesome.
Well, I mean, you are. It's just so amazing to me that you got your inspiration from someone who was married to your cousin, and then you were able to be so inspired that you, in turn, were able to go on this journey to fulfill your gift, because clearly you're supposed to be doing this too. I mean, you must think about that a lot and go, wow. That's just awesome that you can find that out in your lifetime. You were inspired, and in turn, you were able to recognize that you were able to do the same thing.
I've thought about it, but like one of the things, like I think I'm just having so much fun, you know, really, like, you know, playing and dealing with the kids and like and writing music, you know, but it's, you know, like, it's just, you know, like, it's, I guess it's something that it was meant for me to do, But I found like I had to think it out, you know, like and it's been like and you got to work at it. It's not like it's just laid on you, you know. So you know you got to work at it. But like it's, to me, it's just so much joy come out of it when you start getting things the way that you want them and getting them to sound the way that you want them to sound. It's just so much fun and you just can't stop. It's almost like I told one person, I said, it's not the fact that you choose jazz chooses you.
Yes.
On that journey.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing is that early on you had such a good teacher because clearly this was a man that you looked up to who was into discipline. There was no such thing as taking it for granted. It looks like you have followed that path too. It's a matter of working at it. It just doesn't come. You have to make sure that you put the time into it. That makes all the difference in the world.
Yes. You know, one of the things, like, and I'll talk to the kids about, you know, being practicing and learning how to practice, you know, which is really important because a kid will take a piece of music and they will kind of just go through it and not really go and deal with the details, you know, and like I would hear him down just go through the details. I would hear him play something fast, and I would hear him play the same thing slow with control. And, you know, like I've talked to him about tone, like, you know, where does he get that tone, and like, and how, you know, how to get it. I mean, those things are things that, like, one-on-one with someone, you really find out, you know, even, you know, they can write about those things in a book, but when you see someone do it and you talk to them about it, it's really the key, because then, like, you know, all the secrets that they may not tell anybody else.
Right.
Of how to do what they're doing. You know, and some of them maybe do, it's just very simple, you know. There's things that you should pay attention to, you know. So it's kind of hard to explain, you know, like, I guess it would take hours to really get down into depth with, like, all those things. But, and it's like mouthpieces, how you hold the mouthpiece in your mouth and the breath control, you know, like listening to the horn, and like in order to get the sound to come out the way that you want it to come out, you know.
And he took all that time with you to explain all this?
Yeah. Well, you know, like just imagine, like he's practicing, right? And like and you sitting down watching him practice and wondering what is he playing? And he said, "Well, man, oh man, I got to take my horn to the shop, but now I hear some ghost notes." Ghost notes. He said, "That means the notes are not coming out correctly. I have
a pad
that's leaking." You know, I said, "Oh, you know." Now I take my horns to the shop every 3 months, you know, like for a tune-up. Before I didn't know that. I figured, like, you just have a horn, you just keep on playing and then nothing would go wrong. But, you have to keep it in tune, just like a car, you know. You got to keep all everything working correctly, you know. So, you know, learn about that, because as a matter of fact, I know one time I had this one pad that was like, I was wondering what was happening. I couldn't get any low notes down. So like I called him and all over in New York. I said, "Well, man, this pad is this turning colors." And like, "Do you think I need to get a new pad?" He said, "I think so." I said, "Oh, okay."
Wow, that's so cool, because, you know, you hear a lot from different artists who might have had inspirations, but some of those folks that they aspire to be like, or that the people that were maybe in their lives, sometimes didn't have time to tutor them the way they needed to be tutored. But apparently there was a lot of time invested in you, so John knew you were dead serious about doing this.
Yeah, well, you know, it wasn't just me and also my brother, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, see, John was just a nice guy. He was a nice guy, and, like, actually, he was funny, too. He would always crack jokes, you know. If he didn't pick up the horn, you wouldn't think that he could be, he was doing what he was doing with the horn, you know. He was just a nice, and he seemed like an average, everyday guy.
Right, right. Oh, my God. Well, Reflections, we just heard Wise One a little while ago, and this CD is such a great piece of work, Carl. And honestly, I mean, I'll tell you this, and I wasn't going to tell you this because sometimes it's just a little emotional, and this is a pretty emotional day, but there was a reason for me to do this show and make sure that all different kinds of jazz were serviced, because this is the way to make sure that people stay on top and are enlightened about the genre. And you were one of my inspirations even back 5 years ago. In the back of my head, I had an idea that somehow, some way, I was going to have a show that would make sure that folks that I knew who were regionally, locally based, who displayed artistry way beyond what the region suggested, got focused on. And you were one of the reasons why I decided to do the show.
Wow. Well, you know, thank you. One of the things that I find, like, is, you know, it's like now, like, I just got to do it. Whatever I'm doing, I got to do it, because I'm enjoying myself so much, you know.
That's awesome.
This is unbelievable. So, you know, like, it's almost like, you know, every day I'll get up and even sometimes, even if I don't get enough sleep, because it's interesting, I can get up and go all day long, you know, because that's how much fun it is, and also dealing with the kids, they remind me of myself when I was growing up. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I'll tell them, I say, yeah, well, like, see, I didn't practice too, and this is what happened. So, like, you better practice. The kids are gonna be like, how did you know that, Mr. Cross? Yeah, I did all the stuff that y'all trying to do, I did it too. So, like, I know how now to stay on the right path, pick up my horse and practice.
See, you give them so much food for thought, and you're right. They don't have to go out and play professionally, but the fact that they're learning an instrument and they'll have that for the rest of their lives, that's their refuge forever. That's so amazing.
You know, and and one of the things that happens, like playing an instrument, you got to have control. You got to be by yourself so that you can practice. You know, you got to concentrate. Those things can go off into other areas, you know, or help people that, you know, like, one of the things I found, like, doctors, people, doctors also love playing instruments, you know. Had a lot of guys that were doctors, like, I gave saxophone lessons to scientists.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and, like, and also, like, doctors, you know, lawyers, you know, that kind of thing. You know, like, it's a thinking person's profession too. It's not, it's like, it goes into other areas, so that will help you in other areas too. They're also a meditative kind of thing too. Is when I'm practicing, like, I'm really like meditating.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And here I am. Look, I'm a frustrated musician. That's why I'm a disc jockey, okay?
Well, what you got to do is just go ahead and pick up that instrument and meditate, and you'll be all right.
Yeah, it's never too late. That's for sure, and that's something that folks should really consider as they get to be of a certain age. Because I just had a birthday, and look, I don't care. I'm 59, so it's never too late to get yourself acclimated to an instrument. Because honestly, that kind of adage about, well, that the sooner in life you learn, the better it's going to be, sometimes that sticks, and that's not always the case. People can learn just as well as they get older. Do you think, Carl, or am I just blowing smoke here?
No, well, that is true. You know, as you get older, then you know, like you can go ahead and settle down and just go ahead and practice it. Like, kind of get some of those things that are bugging you out of your mind by picking up that instrument, you know.
Yeah.
Almost,
yeah.
It will become like a safe haven. Can nobody get in there to mess with you when you practice?
You are not lying. And how many times have we heard that through the years? Because how many times has it been that somebody had an instrument that they could play, and that really prevented them from getting a little crazy and hurting somebody?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I tell you, one of the things I really feel like music really, it's a spiritual kind of thing where, like, it really protects you. You know, like, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you won't get into any trouble. Because, like, when I was a teenager,
yeah,
you know, like, Philadelphia, like, they had gangs. But, like, every time something happened, I was off playing somewhere. And by the time I came back home, all that stuff was over. And so the guys would tell me, oh, man, this happened, that happened. I said, wow, I'm glad I wasn't there.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was off playing, you know, like, you know, playing and trying to learn how to play music, you know. So I said, wow. As long as I keep doing this, you know, I'll stay out of trouble.
Well, Carl, I saw you once at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, and it was just a pretty cool setting for you and your band. And I would love to be able to say that sometime soon folks can come and see you. Do you have any dates set up where folks can come and actually see you play?
Me and Benson Thomas is going to perform.
Really?
And it's going to be on the 28th. I wish Barbara was here now because she would get me straight. I know she's probably saying, you're supposed to know these things.
That's okay. But 28th, yeah, that's coming up soon.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, Essex Community College.
Oh, well, fabulous. That's right down the street. That's great.
Yeah. And like, it's going to be dance, you know, like, and saxophone. And me and Vincent have worked together before. We did a piece together. So this time we have, like, about an hour to demonstrate our individual thing as well as, like, our collective thing, you know, so.
Okay,
that's
you know what?
Exciting.
It's ringing a bell. Is this going to be part of CCBC's lunchtime series on campus?
Yes.
Okay, then that's going to be, let's see, 25. That's going to be this Friday.
Yes.
Awesome. So if folks want to know about it, honestly, they can go to Community College Baltimore County, and they'll have a listing of what's coming up on campus. That's great. So it'll probably be like noontime, noon to 1.
Yes.
Okay. Yay! I didn't know it was coming up that soon. Oh, Carl, that's great. We'll be there, my son and I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Woohoo! That's awesome. Do you think we can take pictures so people on Facebook can see what you're all about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, actually, we might try to videotape it too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll put the call out, see if somebody can do that, because you know what? That should be recorded, especially for kids, because that little hall where you'll be, we have been there for a couple of series, and that's a real nice recital hall. So it's kind of intimate, And if somebody can get videotape together, that would be an astounding gift to give to those students, and to make sure you kept it for you know, what your endeavors are too. That's cool. I'll put the word out for you, Carl.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
yay!
Dance, and playing an instrument like Benson uses his body as an instrument, and I use my saxophones as an instrument too. But then like also it is, when you play the saxophone, there is motion that you be dealing with also. So it's been interesting. Like even like Benson is an excellent dancer too. So I'm really excited about doing that with him.
I'm excited too. When you have these presentations in and around town, and then you go to Philly to do your annual, as far as I know, tribute to John Coltrane, you really put some work into what the event is all about, and it's just so satisfying to see you have such a chemistry with the people in your band. Do you have the same folks all the time with you, or does it change up a little?
No, like actually, it really changes up. You know, like I had man Reggie Workman was in the band. Like the, you know, last time when I played or did the tribute to Train, really, it's interesting. What I'm looking for in musicians is guys not to play a lot of stuff, but just to play stuff that is really plain and simple.
Right.
You know? And it's kind of hard to explain, but like when I listen to like the master musicians play, it's like it's almost they're just playing the stuff just as basic and simple. And, you know, and I find like a lot of times the younger musicians, they want to play so much, you know, and want to play loud, you know. And I said, well, man, I don't, my horn is not electronic. I can't turn up the 10. So I'm still kind of searching out, like, and trying to find some guys that I can just really, truly lock in with, you know, like, so I'm always on the hunt.
Really? Well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Where can, if that's the case, because I see that there have been various folks in and out of our chat room while we've been doing the show. So where can I direct them to go if there are musicians who are going to hear this live and then hear the archive, because Blog Talk Radio provides the repeat of the show that we're doing right now?
All right. Well, they can go to my Facebook page.
Okay.
And or I can go to callgrubs@verizon.net.
Great.
You know, and that's my that's my web page. You know, and then they can contact me from there. And although I'm not a big email person, but
That's okay. It will speak to you. There's such a little divine light in your life that you will know on a given day who you're supposed to correspond with.
that's the promise I do.
that is so cool. And it's funny. I know exactly what you're saying. And I know that your time is getting to be of the essence. But I saw something that a person had written about Roy Hargrove, because Roy was playing with Diane Reeves, and somebody noted that Roy did not over embellish. He did not walk on Diane. He knew when to get in, he knew when to play simply, and he knew when to get out. So I know what you're saying about folks who want to make themselves heard, as opposed to what the effort is as a group to get the message of the song out, you know?
Right. You know, it's like, you know, it's almost like when the way I grew up, like, especially in Philadelphia, you're like, if guys overplayed, you didn't work. If you underplayed, you didn't work. But, like, if you did the right things, you would work all the time.
You know?
And I think some of that kind of tasteful thing has less the music, you know, like, you know, like, and so therefore guys, or maybe there's, it isn't like it was before, where you can really develop that, you know. And a lot of times guys, like, they try to develop it academically, but like, you have to develop that kind of thing, playing with other musicians and playing with guys that know. And like, that's one of the ways that I learned how to play, is not just the academic part, but it's also playing with guys that could play. You know, and they
right.
would tell you, hey man, look, you need to learn those changes correctly. you know. And there wasn't no harm in that, but like, you know, but they would let you know things that you needed to know, and they would tell you when you sounded good. They told you when you need to work on it too. So and that's important.
Well,
yeah, that's really
it is
nowadays.
Not a lot of people had the teacher that you did though, so man, there sure is a difference in that. And I know, because Barbara had told me that your time is valuable. I've kept you a little bit longer because we didn't get involved until after 3. I've got another song from Reflections here, Carl. I've got Carl's Blues, and I know that's close to your heart.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's almost, and like when people say, can you play the blues? And like I have to say, yes, the blues is this three-chord blues. You know, that kind of soulful kind of blues. So, you know, like, and sometimes I feel like that. So, I get that bluesy feeling. And so that's what Carl's Blues is all about, you know.
And your dad really liked the blues, too.
Well, like, he would always play kind of blues piano and Muddy Waters and those guys, you know, And I, when I was growing up, I didn't understand that, but like now I do. And maybe like as you get older and you mature, you say, "Oh, that's what the blues is about. That's what he was listening to. The thing that has that certain feeling."
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
Yeah, I can understand, and that was one of the songs when I first heard the CD. My God, back in 2005 now. Whenever I first got introduced to you and I heard the CD, I gravitated to Wise One, and I love the story about your family, because you were real close and had a lot of love for your family, and saw the picture of your dad and all about Carl's Blues, and I thought, this is so cool. Woo! That's a blessing to have that kind of love in a family, and it's you just carry that love with you around, because you've got that smile in your voice. We never did an interview before, so this is just a tickle to me. I appreciate it so much.
Well, you know, like you're a good interviewer, and it's really easy to talk to you. You know, so like, you know, so I'm that's why I'm enjoying myself.
I'm so glad. Well, I know that you got to get back to do your thing, and I know that we probably have about 15 more minutes before this show shuts down, because I get my time from Blog Talk Radio, and then they cut me off. So I'm going to say my goodbye to you, and I'll see you on Friday, CCBC in Essex, just up the road from us, that's for sure. That's where my son goes to school, and Carl Grubbs is going to be part of the lunchtime series that they have. They're really involved in arts there. So we'll see you on Friday, Carl.
Okay. All right, look, and it's good talking to you.
It's good talking to you. And you know what? We'll do this time and time again, because we want to find out what's going on with you. I really believe you to be one of the masters that I know in this region, and you've got ties to Philly. So as far as I'm concerned, you are family.
Thank you. Well, look, you're my sister too.
That's cool. That's all I needed to know. God bless you, Carl, and say thank you to Barbara, and maybe I'll see her on Friday too, huh?
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Carl. God bless you.
All right, thank you.
All right,
so long.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Carl Grubbs, and we're going to close out the show, and if we have a little time, we'll play something else, and then maybe we'll play a couple of songs back-to-back. This one, Carl's Blues from Carl Grubbs and Reflections, and then if we have some time, we'll go into a little John Coltrane. one of the inspirations for making Carl Grubbs the amazing vehicle of information and music and inspiration that he is. So here we go. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And we'll see you on Thursday, maybe with a couple of surprises. We'll let it go at that on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.